I want you to turn to, and I there's a bulletin insert there. And before we get into the message, I need to talk about the bulletin real quick. So before we even start the message, let me do that. Today is the last day of harvest time. You'll notice there's a bulletin insert in there of the outline of today's message or the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Because really what I want you to do, instead of taking notes, if you're a note taker, of course you can take notes there on the back. I just want you to listen. I'll send this to anybody that wants it. I spent a lot of time in prayer and study on this one, trying to create something. I'll talk about it here in a little bit. But to kind of give you a biblical narrative of what God is doing from Genesis to Revelation. And we'll get into that here in just a second. But some of the things in the bulletin that we need to be aware of is, first of all, youth will be this Wednesday night here at the church from 6 to 7:30. And that's for all youth, 6th through 12th grades are welcome. We always serve a dinner from 6 to 6:30 for the kids that are here. November the 12th, we're going to have Liberty Church here. This is Cameron's dad and mom. They pastored Liberty Church in Weatherford, Oklahoma. And they've started a deal where on one Sunday a month, they have what they call a Serve Sunday. And they pick different places to go and serve. And so that Sunday, their praise and worship team is going to come here and serve and to give our team a break. And so that our team can be in the just worship with them. And so that's going to be on November the 12th. November the 15th, church family shoebox packing party. This is for the whole church. And it's going to be here at the church from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to have a chili and a stew supper. And we'll be provided. Everyone is welcome. And you can get all the information about the shoeboxes there in the back. And we're going to do that on November the 15th. November the 13th through the 20th is Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Collection Week, and there will be a donation box set up beginning next Sunday. See Patricia for more details about that. November the 19th is the Leading Minister Alliance Thanksgiving Community Service here at the church. We're hosting it this year. It's going to be at 6 p.m. The new pastor at the Methodist Church, Pastor Mike Gerton, will be speaking. We'll be bringing the message at that. Child care will be provided for nursery through kindergarten, and we will have refreshments and finger foods following the service, so everyone is welcome for that. There's something in the bulletin that I had Patricia and Jennifer put in the bulletin this week, and you'll see that little box down there below to the left of the National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child is a tipping point prophecy. A lot of the teaching that I'm going to give you today has come through this. My study, Pastor Jimmy Evans is a pastor that I listen to a lot. And you can discover how to understand God's word, prepare for the future, and have peace in a world of uncertainty. You can subscribe to the Tipping Point Prophecy for $7 a month or $77 annually at endtimes.com. And he's also got a lot of other free resources on there, articles and different things that you can read. And it really does. I encourage you to subscribe to it because he really keeps you up to date what's going on in the end times. You know, what's going on in the world and how it relates to the biblical narrative. And then on the back of the bulletin, you can take notes, and you have the bulletin insert there for the outline with all the scriptures, because as you can tell, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. Is everybody ready to learn something today? I believe that after today, some of you have maybe heard some of this teaching before. Some of you may have not, and that's okay. That's why there's the gift of teaching in the body of Christ, to bring awareness, to understand what the Bible is saying. And I believe that this is going to help a lot of us connect some dots today that you've never probably connected before, that you've never seen before. I've never taught this here before. The beginning of this month, for Pastor Appreciation Month, this is October, Pastor Appreciation Month, y'all sent us to a Bible prophecy conference that was happening in Norman, Oklahoma, from Prophecy Watchers that does it. That's another great ministry. I encourage you to, those two ministries, Tipping Point and Prophecy Watchers, I tell you to hook up with them. They're very good. And so we went to this Prophecy Watchers conference in Norman, and it was called The Imminent Return. And it was just, there was a lot of Bible prophecy teachers there, scholars, theologians that taught. They had classes from 8 o'clock in the morning. Listen to this, from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, on the hour, every hour, in two different rooms going on. There's about 1,000 people there at this conference. Jade and I were two of them, and we were like, which one do we go to? You know, we're looking at their schedule, which one. We wanted to go to all of them. Thank God they put them online. They're online, by the way, at prophecywatchers.com, so you can listen to them. And we picked and choose which one we felt like the Lord was leading us to. But while we were there on October the 7th, Hamas attacked Israel. That was on Saturday, that Saturday morning early, that they attacked Israel. It was just a very somber day, Saturday, amongst all the thousand that were there. And we were hearing from the what was going on. And while we were there at this conference, it lasted from Thursday. We got there Thursday evening, and then it was Friday, Saturday all day, and then Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me, and said, Mark, I want you to start using the last Sunday of every month to teach on Bible prophecy, because my people need to understand what's going on. So, because Bible prophecy will help, it'll give you peace in a world of uncertainty when you understand what's going on behind the scenes. And so I'm going to start doing that, and this is the last Sunday of this month, so I'm going to start doing this every Sunday. If there's, and I'm just going to throw this out there, if there's something in particular that you would like me to teach on about the last days, about end times, that you don't understand, let me know about it, because I'm bringing all this before the Lord about each month, what I need to teach on this month, what do I need to teach on this last Sunday. So if there's something you'd like me to teach on, let me know, and I'll bring that before the Lord. Now, here's the caveat to that. Don't get offended if I don't, because I'm listening to him, right? And but I'll do my best to get to it. So that's what we're going to start doing on the last Sunday of every month. And today I'm going to take you on a jet tour. Where's Taya? Because Taya hates it when I say tour. Jet tour through, that's my daughter for you. So from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to talk about things before the flood and after the flood. And so I want you, if you have your Bibles, and I have every one of these that I'm going to show on the PowerPoint today, and I'll send you this PowerPoint later if you want me to. But I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 19. Literally, we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation this morning. Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 19. And then if you're really good, and this you might want to write this down on that bulletin insert, because this didn't get in there, I added this later, is Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. We'll look at that one. So that's Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Is everybody ready to get started? All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm asking for the gift of the teacher to flow through me today to your people. Lord, as we open up Scripture, as we see this biblical narrative, Lord, that this prophetic biblical narrative, Lord, that you created from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Lord, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is doing. And Lord, I'm just praying, Lord, anoint my voice. Lord, I've studied for this, but just bring it all out of me this morning, I pray, for your peoples, because it's going to open up our eyes and our understanding. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. My main theme scripture for all of us, because this is what I've been praying over all of us, that the wisdom of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, would rest upon all of us. And it was men, this tribe, men and women who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So this is going to, this word today, every time I open up the word on biblical prophecy, is going to give us understanding of the times. That's my prayer over this message today. This Genesis 3:15 is a passage of Scripture, just one Scripture. It's God himself speaking. It's a prophetic word that he is that he spoke against the enemy and to the enemy, and this is the biblical narrative. If you don't understand this Scripture, you're not going to understand the Bible. You're not going to understand the gospel. Okay, and this is the Scripture. Genesis 3, verse 15. I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan. And between your offspring. Everybody say your offspring. I want you to understand that Satan has offspring. We'll get to that here in just a second. And her offspring. Talking about the woman. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And what that prophetic word is, he's saying, my son's coming. And he's going to take you out. He spoke that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, young people, I really want you to listen to me today, because I'm going to talk a little bit about world history through Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11 is world history that you don't hear at schools or universities. And we're going to look at it through the Word of God here for just a little bit. Ephesians 6:12, you got to understand this scripture too. This is the Apostle Paul. That for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. So what we even see and hear what's going on over in Israel, in the Gaza Strip, even though there is a natural, physical war going on, that's the thing that we can see. Behind the scenes, there is a spiritual war going on. Everybody got that? Okay. And here's the battle. If I could sum it up, this is the spiritual battle that's going on from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. The battle is this, three things. They all start with an L. That's a preacher thing. Land, which is the promised land, the lineage, the seed of God, and lordship, who is going to be God. That's the three things that are going on. That battle is going on right there. Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus said this. He said, For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that spoke that. So when you're studying about the end times, we need to understand what was going on in the days of Noah, right? If Jesus said it, we need to understand what was going on in the days of Noah. Now, I was always raised and taught this. I was always taught that man got away from God and they were just sinning like crazy and they were wicked and all that. And God just said, you know what? I created something that is faulty, so I just want to start over and just eradicate mankind. That's what I was taught growing up. And I was like, man, was God upset in the Old Testament? And in the New Testament, he finally got healed up and got okay and, you know, loved mankind enough to send his son Jesus to die for us. I'm going to tell you in my life how I got started down this teaching to understand really what was going on in the Bible. Is I was down, this was years ago when we met uptown at the old church on Main Street before. Now it's the funeral home, and it's still being used to minister to families there. Bart Watkins had bought that, Shaw Funeral Home did. And I can remember when we were still meeting down there, and there was one year that we had, I think it was a back-to-school bash, been years ago, and we had a deal down at the park where we cooked out hot dogs and hamburgers, and it was a big church family cookout. And while we were there, at the end of it, we were cleaning up, and I had somebody that attends our church, and she came up to me, and she just lowered the balm on me, and she goes, Pastor Mark, I want to know, what's wrong with God? Why did he kill everybody in the Old Testament? And you know, the flood and all that. And she goes, I can't get over that. I mean, is he upset? Is he angry? What's going on? I mean, and she was asking, honestly, she loves Jesus, but she would just said, I just don't have an understanding of this. Can you help me to understand what's going on? I don't understand the flood and all that. And I said, I didn't have an answer for her. You know, I was just like, well, God did it. The Word said it. He did it. Just believe it. And that's the way I always, you know, that mankind was wicked and he just took us out and started all over and, you know, and hopefully he don't take us out again. He promised us with a rainbow that he wasn't going to do it again, you know. And so, I mean, that was where I was at in my understanding of Scripture. And I'm a pastor. So I said, you know what, I'm going to study this and I'm going to get back to you. So this has been a journey for me, and I didn't just learn this overnight. I've been studying this for quite a while. And I finally bringing this message out, and I've entitled it The Seed War. Here's where it starts, and this is in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, and every time you find this, the word sons of God in Scripture, it's always translated angels, which these were the fallen angels, saw that the daughters of man were attractive. And they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever, for he is flesh, and shall not abide with man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Before that, we were living for a long time. And then God cut it down to 120. All right. Now, I'm going to have to go real fast this morning because I can go on rabbit trails on every one of these. So I've got to stay focused on what I'm doing. And believe me, if you have questions, just talk to me and we'll talk it out. The Nephilim, everybody say Nephilim. These were the fallen ones, the giants. You'll never learn this in your history books, by the way, about giants. We're on the earth in those days and also afterward, before the flood and after the flood is what it's talking about. When the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Now, I'm going to connect a dot for you. Some of you have heard about Greek mythology, Zeus, the demigods and all that. There is some truth behind that. This is what that scripture is talking about there. This is before the flood. There was something going on here that we all don't understand before the flood. There's a whole other world here. This is Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11. God says, though, in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 6, says, "And the angels who did this, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." Thank God this ain't going on again. Okay? This is, God took care of this situation, but this situation was going on. This is now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 tells us why God destroyed the earth with a flood. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence." Everybody say violence. In the Hebrew, that word is translated, get this, it's the first time in Scripture that it shows up, Hamas. What's going on in Israel right now? Who's attacking Israel? Hamas. Hamas is a spirit. There's a spirit behind Hamas, and the spirit behind Hamas is violence. "And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence," God even said it, Hamas, "through them, behold, I will destroy them with the earth." The only righteous seed on the planet at that time was Noah and his family. All of mankind had been corrupted by the angels coming down, the fallen angels that cohabitated with women. The whole DNA was messed up. In fact, if you'll go down, if you study this out, there was hybrid people, demigods. That's where Greek mythology comes from. They're even saying that they even had the ability to commingle mixed DNA with animals. So that's why you see on Egyptian hieroglyphs, the man with a dog face, the man with an alligator face. That stuff was going on, people. That kind of stuff was going on. They're studying this. Archaeologists are studying all this, all these structures, and they're like, how did mankind do this? We don't even have the tools today to build this kind of stuff. It was pre-flood stuff that's still here. The giants built it. You're not going to learn this in world history. It's been taken out of all history books. The enemy has done that to keep the body of Christ dumb. But everything is in the Word if we'll just seek it out. I shouldn't have used the word dumb, but ignorant. We're uninformed. We don't understand what's going on. Okay, so this is why God destroyed the planet, because the seed that he created has totally been corrupted by the angelic host, the fallen angels. The Bible tells us that a third of the angels fell with Satan. This Hamas spirit is being released on the planet right now. It's not just being released in the Middle East, okay? This Hamas spirit, Wednesday when I was studying this, Hamas spirit, and I was just getting this righteous anger every time I was learning about it and studying about it. And that evening is when I heard about the shooting that was in Maine, the senseless shooting. That's the spirit of Hamas that's being released on this planet. The people that have the open door, we're talking about the open door, people that are open to the enemy, they're subject to that. That's why here at this church, I'm going to tell you this, even in Western Oklahoma, why at this church, I have security guards here every morning. There's people in here packing heat, and that's the reason. I hate that. I hate that we have to do that today, but that's because there's a spirit of Hamas that's a counterfeit to the spirit of the Holy Spirit, and this spirit is evil. This spirit is demonic. This spirit is a warrior spirit from the kingdom of darkness, and it has no, it has, guys, it has... It has no thought of women and children either. And then, so that's what's going on over in the Middle East. And I'm just going to say this, and I don't, the graphic things that were happening over there, thank God they're not showing it to us on our TV, on our media over here. But there was, they were beheading, I mean, killing women and children and sending videos to their parents showing them, you know, taking out their children over there. This is the spirit that's behind Hamas. It's an evil, demonic spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, God don't like it. It's totally anti-Christ. Joel 3:19 is another scripture. It says, Egypt shall become a desolation and Edom a desolate wilderness for the violence, Hamas, done to the people of Judah because they have shed innocent blood in their land. The reason why God took out Egypt was because of Hamas. If you remember the story, the biblical narrative, the story of Pharaoh, when Moses was born, the Pharaoh at that time was jealous, listen to this, of a baby infant, and infanticide happened, and he killed all the Jewish boys, the Hebrew boys, two and under. They threw him in the Nile River and fed him to the crocodiles. That's the Hamas spirit at work. God said, that's why I took out Egypt, because of the Hamas spirit. It's getting really quiet in here this morning. I'm getting mad. I feel like I'm getting angry, and I don't want you to know I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at this spirit. This spirit is being released right now. Because here's the deal. The enemy knows his time is short. So the Arabic word for Hamas means zeal. So that's why they use that word Hamas, zeal. The Hebrew word for it that we just saw in the scriptures there means violence, murder, and complete moral destruction. Hamas is a demonic and powerful warrior spirit that is anti-Christ, and it's a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. Then after the flood, well, this is a whole other teaching that I can go down, but we're for lack of time, I'm just trying to give you this biblical narrative from Genesis to Revelation today. It says, so after the flood, it says, when they were going in to conquer the promised land, remember this story that we read all the time, we learn about it in Sunday school. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. These were giants. The Bible also talks about a king, King Og, and his bed was 13 feet long. Okay, that's a big dude. That's a big guy. This is all through the scripture. We just skim over it and read it in our Bible plans, and we don't understand what God's trying to tell us. And when you go and study this in the Old Testament, the descendants of Nephilim, that's where it started, the Nephilim. But you'll see a couple other. I just read one of them, Anak, or however you want to say it, Rephaim is one of them. The Ammonites called them Zamzumin in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. You'll also see another descendant of the Nephilim was called Anakim or the Anakites. These were all giants. Never hear about this in world history. You never hear about this in schools or our universities today. The enemy has done a very good job to get it out of our educational system and even out of church too. And so when you're reading scripture and you're reading about Joshua and Caleb and, you know, we like all that, you know, 1 Samuel 17, which I've preached a lot of messages on about David and Goliath. You know what Goliath was? He was a giant. God wanted him taken out. So these are the giants that when you read the Old Testament that Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and David defeated. And God even said, and you'll see some references in scripture, I'm not going to turn to them, but God would even tell his men of God, he would say, I want you to kill them all because there's a hybrid race going on. I want you to take out, God would even say this, I want you to take out their women, their children, and even their livestock because they had DNA stuff going on with their livestock. It's a whole other road I can go down. I know some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate this morning. Some of you are like, you know, I understand this. I've studied some of this. Some of you are like going, what is Pastor Mark talking about? Yeah. This was stuff all going on before the flood and after the flood. God stopped it. They're in chains now, okay? They're bound up. So this isn't going to happen again. And everybody said, amen. Now, and even today, if you'll study in science, there's a lot of stuff going on with DNA. Some of it's good to understand to how to heal the human body, but some of it's wicked. They're trying to do some of this stuff. I've often wondered, do they have giants somewhere that they're trying to get DNA out of to recreate them? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. All right. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 1. So I'm going to explain to you where demons come from. And it says, and immediately there was in their synagogue, this is when Jesus came, he started his ministry, he's teaching, he's ministering to people, he's preaching. It says, one day he's at a synagogue, and he was in the synagogue, and it says, a man with an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you, and this demon cries out, this unclean spirit says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Yeah, think about that. That's, they know their time is short, and they're like, Jesus is here. Oh, my gosh, he's on the planet, and he's a grown man, and he's 30 years old. And is he here to destroy us now? And Jesus, it's not the fullness of time. Jesus came in the fullness of time. He's coming again, the second coming, in the fullness of time. This is all on God's calendar. God's got all the times and the seasons. God's given us as his children the way to understand the times and the seasons if we'll just get into the Word of God. But unclean spirit, what an unclean spirit is when the Nephilim cohabitated with women and created this hybrid race, that was an unclean spirit, meaning that God did not create that spirit. That spirit did not come from heaven. Did you know your spirit was in heaven before you came into your mother's womb? Yeah. My son, this scripture just gives me chills every time I say it. My son, whenever he was born, before he was born, I knew I was having a boy from him. And God told me, he said, and it was Jeremiah 1:5, and it said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that meant that has helped me because I knew God didn't make a mistake sending him here. His ministry here was only 18 months, but he did a lot in my family in 18 months. Some of them are sitting in church because of him. 18-month-old, never even uttered a word. But he came to this planet for that season of his life, and he fulfilled his calling. So God knows us before we were even born. The Spirit comes from us. These spirits didn't come from God. So this spirit is what the Bible calls an unclean spirit. Everybody tracking? They're a demonic spirit. And what they're trying to do, because they don't have a body to inhabit, they're trying to find people that have an open door to the enemy so that they can come into them. And that's what we call demon possession. I love what Jesus said. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. I have cast out a few spirits in my ministry. And we do it in the name of Jesus. Not in our own power, but in his power. And you, by the authority of as a believer, can cast them out. Amen. In Jesus' name. And there's different hierarchies of these spirits. I'm going to say this right now, because we can teach on this some other time. But there's some of them, Jesus even said, this kind of doesn't, can you remember the one where the disciples said, we couldn't cast it out, Jesus. We were using your name. We were doing everything you told us to do. It wouldn't come out. It's lodged in there. He's stuck. And Jesus said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. So there's different hierarchies of these things, just like in the kingdom of God, okay? Or, I mean, in the military, there's different hierarchies of you know, authority, the same as in the kingdom of God, in God's kingdom. All right, so that's Genesis 1 through 11. That's my introduction. That's world history for you. Just a real quick overview of world history, what happened because of the flood, before the flood, after the flood. This is Genesis 1 through 11. Everybody still with me? Everybody got some understanding now that you hadn't had before? All right, now what happens in the Word of God when you're studying it, it does this when Moses, when God, you know, had him write the book of Genesis, he went from Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 11 that we have, the way that we read it in chapters. And that was just kind of a big, brief overview of world history. And then in Genesis 12, God takes a magnifying glass and goes, I want you to hone in on a man named Abram, okay? Abram was a pagan before this happened. He was a Gentile like us. He was an unbeliever. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't know God, the God Jehovah. In fact, if you'll study his life, his family probably worshipped the moon when he lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. That's where he lived, in the city of Ur. But Genesis chapter 12 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," God comes to Abraham, the great God Jehovah, the great I Am, and he says, "Go from your country and your family and your father's house and everybody that you know in your community to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is where the Hebrew people came from. This is where the Jewish people came from. They were descendants of Abraham. I'm starting this, I'm calling you Abraham, and through you the nations are going to be blessed. You go on and read Genesis chapter 15. This is where God makes his covenant with Abraham, and this is what they call the Abrahamic covenant. And this covenant was done by God, promised by God, and it's kept by God. It can never be broken. And this, when you read about it, this covenant was for the land, the promised land. It was for the lineage. Your seed will inherit the earth, and I'm going to be your God. Okay, so he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Genesis chapter 15 is where you can read about that. All right, now God promises, I'm just trying to go through this real quickly. God promises Abraham and Sarah when he does this covenant, he says, "Through you, the nations are going to be blessed." So they're like, "All right, we're going to have a child." Yes. Okay. Abraham's old. Sarah's is barren. So they wait for quite a while. In fact, if memory serves me right, they waited 25 years and nothing was happening. Okay. After 25 years of waiting on God to make sure that this promise that he spoke in Genesis 15 happens, do you have the faith and the trust in God? God, you know, now I'm 100. And I don't know how this is going to happen. And they lose heart. They lose faith. They give up. And you know what Sarah does? Sarah devises a plan, and she gets Abraham to go in on it. And this is the only time in Scripture, guys, that you don't listen to your wife, okay, that I have found, all right, because all the other times you listen to your wife. But Sarah says, "Hey, why don't you, the Egyptian slave girl that we have in her home, why don't you start this lineage through her? Start our family through her." And Abraham says, "That's a good idea, because I'm tired of waiting on God. We've been 25 years." So here's Abraham saying, "Well, I'm going to have more than one wife. Yeehaw." This is not, okay, this is not, I'm not talking about polygamy and all that, okay? This is not an endorsement for that. They messed up. They got ahead of God, and because of that, what happened in Abraham, I want you to listen to this, okay? What happened in Abraham's home is now happening in his homeland on a larger scale. So there's a lot to say here, but the decisions that you make when you're not waiting on God and you try and you do, you're emotionally charged and you try to get ahead of God can screw your life up and generations after you. That's the teaching from this, if you want to take it. That's what it's saying. So they do this. The child is born. What did they name the child? Ishmael. Through Ishmael came the Palestinian people. Okay, follow with me. So we're going to pick this back up in Genesis 16, verse 5. So Ishmael has been born, and Hagar, this Egyptian woman, and I'm going to tell you what she brought into their home, and if you're just going to have to stay with me on this, this Egyptian woman who didn't know their God, brought in the spirit of Hamas into their home. It's a spirit. Okay, and it says, "And Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong Hamas done to me be on you." And I would have been like, if I was Abraham, "Honey, you said to do this." Okay, can we just have a little fun this morning? This is a real heavy message, I understand. But he was just as much to blame as she was because he went right along with it. It's just the same scenario as the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. "I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." Okay? So I want you to understand, you got to read between the lines when you're studying Scripture a little bit. What was going on in this home was a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred. I mean, you got Sarah and Hagar at each other's throats, and you've got this Ishmael's been born, okay? Now, I want you to notice this about what God said about Ishmael. Genesis 16, verse 12 says, "He, Ishmael, shall be a wild donkey of a man." How'd you like to have that prophetic word spoken over you? He's going to be a wild donkey. That means stubborn. He's not going to listen to anybody. It says his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. That's still going on today. That's where the Palestinian people have come from. That is DNA being passed down from generation to generation to generation. Genesis chapter 21. I'm just taking you a jet tour, through the Bible, so you don't like me when I say tour. All right, Genesis 21, verses 8 through 10, it says, and the child grew and was weaned. Now Isaac, okay, now we have the miracle happen. Isaac's born, all right? So now Isaac is in the home. We got Hagar and Ishmael in the home. We got Abraham and Sarah. Now we have Isaac. It says, and the child grew and was weaned. Okay, in biblical times, about the time that they were weaned, around the age of two, okay? So everybody say Isaac was two. Isaac was two, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, who is Ishmael, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, and she saw this young man laughing, is what the Bible, one of the translations. Another one, translation says, mocking. The real translation of that is Hamas. All right? Now let me tell you something about this, and I gotta start going quicker. Let me read this before I say this. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out." What do you do with a demon? Cast it out. Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. Now I gotta read this scripture before I tell you this. So in the Apostle Paul, talking about what was going on in the home of Abraham, he says this in Galatians 3, verse 29. He says, but just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted, he doesn't say laughing. The Apostle Paul translated it as persecuted. Another translation is abused. Him who was born according to the Spirit, which was Isaac, so also it is now. What the Apostle Paul was saying during his day when he was teaching the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, he said this same spirit's going on today, in my day. 2,000 years later, we're still seeing it happen, okay? Now, let me take you back to this home and tell you how old Ishmael was. Ishmael, at this time, was 16 years old. Isaac is 2. Maybe younger. We don't know when he was weaned. Right around the age of 2. And I'm going to say this about this wild donkey of a man. What does it say about a 16-year-old mocking, abusing, and persecuting a 2-year-old? Let me ask you, is that normal? No. So, no, it's demonic. It's demonic. The Hamas spirit has no regard for children and for infants. Then in Genesis chapter 22, we read the story of the sacrifice of Isaac when God tells Abraham, I want you to take him with you. I want you to go to up the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice your son. And Isaac, it says that Isaac carried the wood on his back for the sacrifice. And they go up the mountain, and Abraham is fixing to slaughter his own son, the promised son. And the Bible says this, and I love this, in Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, the Hall of Faith, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, this is a test on Abraham, God, Abraham, do you love me more than the promise? Offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered, and this is the faith of Abraham, he considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did not receive him back. All right? So what this is foreshadowing is Jesus. God is saying, my son is going to put wood on his back, the cross, and he is going to go to the cross, and I'm going to allow him to be put to death. I, the Father, are going to do that, and I'm going to do that for all of mankind to redeem the seed. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to take a little jet tour again. There, I got to say it right. Taya's in my head up here. I'm going to teach you what Islam is, okay? Now, I'm going to say this right now. I don't want you to go out and buy a Quran, Bible, and read it. I'm just going to tell you what Islam and Muslims, what they believe, okay? Because you have to have an understanding of this to understand what's going on. 2,000 years later, the prophet Muhammad, the so-called prophet, he's a false prophet, by the way, said an angel visited him. I'm going to tell you right now, it was a demon. It was a fallen angel. And he started through the prophet Muhammad, the false prophet. Jesus, what did Jesus say? There'd be false prophets come. They started the religion called Islam. The followers are called Muslims. And they shout, Allah Akbar. In fact, if you've even been watching some of the media, you've probably heard that phrase even from our universities over the past few weeks around here. And what that word means to them, it means our God is greater. That's why I had our praise team sing, our God is greater. Amen. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is above all other gods. Islam teaches, just in short, real quick, Islam teaches that Hagar and Ishmael were chosen, not Sarah and Isaac. The truth is Sarah and Isaac were chosen. That's where the covenant, God created his covenant with them. Islam is a religion of death. They actually celebrate it. In fact, Islam is, their religion is convert or die. Convert or die. Christianity is a religion about life and a relationship with God the Father and with his family, others. And this is, Christianity is a choice, your free will. When you're here, when you repent of your sins, when you receive Jesus, it's a choice. It's not a convert or die. In Islam, listen to this. In Islam, when you die as a martyr, you get virgins in heaven, you're celebrated like a rock star here on the planet, and your family gets an inheritance. They have no regard for death. You can't combat that. They think as soon as I die, I'm going to have virgins in heaven, and they're going to celebrate me like a rock star here on this planet, and my family is going to get an inheritance. Islam eschatology, or the study of last things, is this. Their end time theology is we're going to rule the world. And so in Detroit, and I don't have time to go down this rabbit hole. I hate to call them rabbit holes because it's just a teaching, but I believe the Antichrist is going to come up through Islam, okay? We won't be here, amen? And I'll tell you that here in just a second. There's a neighborhood in Detroit here on our soil that is totally Islam, and they practice the Quran and the Sharia law, and it says in Detroit the police won't even go into that neighborhood to do anything. And the reason why is because they have no regard for our laws at all. That's why when this all broke out over in Israel, over in the Gaza Strip, this is why they had to have a curfew in France, because 50,000 Muslims were on the street of London protesting for Hamas. And they were like, we don't regard anything. And so the police just said, we're just going to have to cause a curfew for the ones that aren't doing anything, so you just go home and get out of the way, just let them do whatever they want, because they're not regarding any of our laws. We can't shut them down. Universities here in America, college students were protesting for Hamas, meaning that they're, I want you to understand this, that religion is infiltrating into America, and it's time for the church to rise up. And this spirit is trying to teach our own kids that are going to universities. I went to a university here in Oklahoma, and God was not even in the equation. I'll never forget the first time I went to a philosophy class, just because I had to take it for, I hate this, that they make you require these classes that you have to take. I went to this philosophy class, and the first thing, the first day, this teacher got up, and I left too, and there was several others that left, but he basically said, there is no God. I don't believe the Bible and all that. I was like, see ya, I'm taking another class, you know, and there were several others, and that was at the University of Oklahoma. So this spirit, this Antichrist spirit, is infiltrating our universities and our campuses. This is why you've got to teach the word to your children at home, not just at church, but at home as well, so that they're biblically grounded and that they have a biblical worldview, so that when they go off out of, you know, into society, they're not swayed. You know what? The Bible keeps me sane. If I didn't have the hope of what I'm teaching you today, I would be a crazy man today. So the religion of Islam is symbolized by the crescent and the star, and I'll show you that here in just a second. The crescent is the early phase of the moon and represents progress. Islam emerged in Arabia, where travel along the desert trade routes were largely by night and navigation dependent upon the position of the moon and stars, and the moon thus represents the guidance of Allah on the path through life. This is, and I love what the Apostle Paul told us, and he says it twice, so he's trying to tell us something here. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, the Apostle Paul says it again. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you've received, let him be accursed. That is a false gospel. That is a false prophet. That is not from God. What we just looked at, Islam. Jesus even said this in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. He said, there's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Jesus said that. So these are going to be some of the signs that we're going to see. And we saw one of those signs just the past few weeks, October the 14th, with the lunar eclipse. Everybody remember that? The ring of fire. I'm going to show you that. This is our symbol as Christianity is the cross. Okay? Jesus turned something that was death into hope. And we have it on our, I'll never forget the time we were studying, when we were researching about putting a steeple on our church. I said, we want a steeple with a cross on it. And then I want lights to be shined up on it. And Dusty and, I'll never forget this, Dusty and Betty were the ones that bought the lights to shine on our cross up here. I said, I want it right in the middle of the church. Then I did all this research. I called other pastors and stuff, and I was like, I don't know how you order a steeple. Never done this before, you know. And I said, here's the deal. I don't want a little bitty steeple. And I don't want this ginormous steeple either that makes our church look weird. Because I've seen churches where the steeple was too small, and I've seen steeples too big, and I'm like, we got to have it just right, all right? And so we finally figured out how you measure. I mean, there's the size of your building and all that, your steeple size. And then I love Clark. Where's Clark at? Is he out? He's probably outside garden. He's security on security today. Clark came up with a great idea because we had this pie-shaped land out here. And I said, where are we going to put the church at? And Clark goes, you know what? I think we need to put it right here. Clark was the one that helped us figure out where to put the foundation at. And he said, and I think you need to face it, because we knew we were going to have the sanctuary on this side. He said, I think you need to face it, the crown of this building, right with Highway 34 as it comes out of Leedy, right here. And he said, then when we put the cross, Clark saw all this. He said, then when we put the cross up there and we have it lit up, everybody is going to know Jesus is Lord. And I was like, Clark, I love your idea. And that's that. Now you know that's how we position this church on this triangle piece. And you watch this at night when you drive, and we try to have the lights on like from 9 to 11, is when you drive out of town right here and then that light's on. I hadn't told anybody that. It's the first time I think I've even told the church this. But I'll never forget after we did that, I had somebody from the community that don't even go to church there and says, I love how you position the steeple and the cross and the lights, because every time I leave Leedy, I'm like, the Lord is with me. I was like, man, that's good. All right, so just wanted to say that. This is what mosques look like with the crescent moon on top of it. That's the sign of Islam. That's becoming, you're seeing this more and more, and it's infiltrating into America as well. On October the 14th, 2023, the Ring of Fire eclipse, and I want you to know something. That is the crescent moon on fire. There was a sign in the heaven. What was actually going on in the Middle East? This is the Gaza Strip, okay? I just wanted to put that up there so you could see it. This is very zoomed in. It's just a little bitty strip of land. Where you see all that orange is the population, okay? And so a little over 2 million people live in the Gaza Strip. It's huge. On the north is Israel. On the south is Egypt. That red line is a border wall that's all the way around it, okay? Hamas has trapped people inside. They're not letting them go out of Egypt. They're not letting them go out to the north to Israel or to the south of Egypt, into Egypt. They have all the roadways blocked, and they're using, this is the Hamas spirit, they're using women and children as human shields. They have their bunkers set up under schools, churches, mosques, and hospitals. Okay? They're using people as human shields. Most of you know that if you've been watching any of the media and what's going on. I'm just trying to make us all aware how, and I want you to know there's a spirit behind this, and it is demonic and it's evil. And I'm going to say this too, and I don't have time to teach all this, but Israel's justified going to war with them. This is a just war. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for war. There's a time for war right now. Now, I've had people ask me, Pastor Mark, is this the Ezekiel 38-39 war that's prophesied in Ezekiel? And I'm like, I don't know. We don't know. And the one prophesied in Ezekiel 38, 39 is the war of all wars, World War III, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Is this the setup for it? I don't know. Because this is all, this kind of stuff has always been happening for 4,000 years since Abraham. Okay, this conflict over there. It could be. It sure looks like it. And that's why the church has to be ready. And that's why the church has to get the word out that Jesus is the Messiah. Because I just want to reiterate something, that in this conflict, only 2%, and I believe it was Amy Downey that told us this, only 2% of the Palestinian people know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and only 2% of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, know Jesus as the true Messiah. So there are people dying in this conflict that are going to hell because they don't know Jesus. And so it is imperative that we get the word out about who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. Now, I tried to show you, and when you go read Ezekiel 38 and 39, when you read it, you're going to hear words like Gog and Magog, and you're like, what in the world? You're going to hear, you know, a word, Persia. And so the best way I can describe this, and I love, I'd listened to a message that Pastor Mark Driscoll had said and ministered on this as well, is it'd be like in America, where in our day, who to our north is Canada and to our south is Mexico, right? But it's not always been that way, you know. And so back in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it wasn't these names of these countries. This was God, like Gog and Magog. I'll give, just teach you a little Bible prophecy on the nations, was Russia. Persia is Iran. And that's how these names correlate. But I don't... Can you see that arrow I've got up there? It's a white arrow. See it up there? Pointing to Israel? Yeah, thank you. See it now? See that white arrow? I'm having hard to see it. I need my readers on, my magnifying glass. But see that little brown strip right there? Yeah, thank you. Right there? That's Israel. That's what all these big countries around here want. Israel. That little sliver of land. Everybody see that? Okay. You can turn the lights back up. I just wanted you to see that. I want to talk a little bit about Ezekiel 38, 39. Even if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to this, guys. The existence of the nation of Israel and the sustaining of the nation of Israel is proof positive that there is a God. It's proof positive. Here's the basic order, and this is the reason why I wanted to put that up there. The basic order of key time events. We're in the church age right now. Then you see what is called the rapture, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. There's this gap period right here, and it's likely the timing of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war that we just looked at there on that slide. And then what's going to happen when the rapture happens, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture, the church is taken out of here. The Holy Spirit, and what it is what is restraining all the evil from really happening is the church. We're the restraining force right now. When we're taken out of here, no pun intended, all hell's going to break loose. Tribulation's going to start. There's going to be the judgment of God. And you know what? As children, as His children, we escape the wrath of God. This judgment's not for us. And then you're going to have the second coming of Christ, and then the millennial kingdom, everything that's talked about in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everybody is still going to hook up with me for 8 more minutes? Okay, nobody's going to check out at high noon because you want to go eat? All right? Because I want to get the rest of this out to you. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's mainly just reading scriptures and commenting on it, but it says, this is the Apostle Paul telling the church at Thessalonica, because they thought, has the end already happened? Because this conflict's still going on then, 2,000 years ago. He's like, no, it hasn't happened yet. So he tells them 1 Thessalonians 4, and he starts telling them the signs. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed. That's what I'm trying to do today, keep us informed, understanding what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. I like how Paul refers to death for Christians is asleep. I'll talk about that in just a second. I might just talk about it right now. The body is asleep, the physical body. Your soul's not asleep in your spirit. As soon as a Christian, a believer, dies, they're immediately in the presence of God. Now, your body's still here, and it'll be resurrected one day, but there's no such thing as soul sleep. You go straight to heaven when you pass away, okay? He says that those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope, okay? We still grieve, even as Christians, when our loved ones pass away, but we grieve with what other people don't have is hope. We grieve with hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Listen to this. The first reunion that's going to happen, it says, for this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, I love this, that we who are alive and remain until, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. That's going to be the archangel Michael, the military official of heaven. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the first reunion that's going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to, their spirit and their soul from heaven is going to meet their body. I can't wait to see this happen, okay? And I don't know how it's going to happen, but then it says that we who are alive and remain are going to be with, we're going to get caught up with them, raptured into the air with them. And here's the deal. I know about the father heart of God, because God's a father. You're going to get reunited in the air with family, and you're going to have some serious hang time together, all right? I love that. And here's the deal. Jaden, boom, going to be with Jaden and Taya. All right, and all of our family. Oh man, this gets me. I'm gonna get to see Jada's mother, who I've always wanted her approval for marrying her daughter. I never got it. I'm gonna get Darlene's approval in the air. Welcome to the family, Mark. You know, we're all in. God, let me keep reading here. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. And Jance is gonna. You know, I'm thinking about Rex and Jacqueline. I'm thinking about all the ones that have went home to be with the Lord in here in our church family. That resurrection is going to happen. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up, and that's where we get the word rapture from out of the Latin Bible. That's harpazo is the Greek word for it, but that's where that derivative is the rapture. That's where that comes from. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is my favorite part. This is so there's going to be the reunion of us with our loved ones that went on before us and our friends and loved ones. And then when we're in the air, listen to this, guys. Listen to this. And so we will always be with the Lord. Always. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, encourage one another with these words. And then he goes on in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. He says, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, okay? It's going to happen suddenly. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains. What we're experiencing right now is labor pains. We've been experiencing them for a long time. But as the time gets closer and closer to Jesus' coming, those labor pains are going to get stronger and stronger. And that's what it's doing is birthing eternity. Come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Here's the deal. That day is not going to surprise us. Amen. And I'm telling you, that day is close. That day is close because of what we see going on. So that's why we have to be ready. And it's not going to surprise us. Who it's going to surprise is the unbelievers, the people that have rejected Jesus. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And this is the scripture that I wanted to get to right here, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath. God's not going to pour out his judgment on his children, but to obtain, that's for the tribulation. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, he says it again, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 8. 1 and 2 Thessalonians are great to read about the end times. And you know what is restraining him now, talking about the Antichrist, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. That's the second coming. what's restraining the enemy from doing anything on this planet that he would like to do, and that's revealing his Antichrist, because whatever God does, the enemy's got to create a counterfeit to it, is the restraining force is us. And when we're raptured out of here, when the church is caught up with the Lord in the air, then that's going to be released on this planet. Zechariah 14, here's another, this is the scripture I was going to read to you. Verses, everybody still good? Got two more passages I want to read to you. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." This is Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 4. "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken." So here we go. The city's going to be taken, and the houses filled, and the women ravished or raped. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." That's exactly where he ascended in Acts chapter 1. He's going to descend right there at the second coming. This is when he's actually going to put his feet on this planet again, "which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley." There's going to be a large earthquake when Jesus shows up. "Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south." And everybody said, amen. Now I want to read this out of the book of Revelation, because I told you I was going to take you from Genesis to Revelation. And this is in Revelation chapter 19. It says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude," that's us in heaven, "like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt it and give him the praise, the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come.'" This is us being caught up. We're in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're up there. We're giving praise to God, and his bride has made herself ready. So there we are with him, with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. "It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am your fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" All Bible prophecy should be leading us to Jesus. I'm going to say this. All Bible prophecy should lead us to Jesus, not to the Antichrist. You're not going to hear this pastor teaching a whole lot on the Antichrist, because biblical prophecy needs to lead us to Jesus. I want you all to be out of here before he's even revealed. Amen? "So then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in the robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses." That's going to be us. I'm going to have a white stallion in Jesus' name. And that's the seed war. That is the seed war. That's a jet tour from Genesis to Revelation. Guys, Jesus is coming back. The rapture of the church, the reason why I want to teach you about the rapture of the church today is it's imminent. It could happen at any time. It could happen at any time. And so we have to be ready. And I love what the angel said. The angel said, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." I don't want anybody ever in my family, under the sound of my voice or listening on social media, I don't want anybody to have to go to the tribulation. You might be saying, "Well, there'll be believers in the tribulation." Yeah, but it's going to be tough. And you'll probably be martyred. That's what the book of Revelation says. That's why the angel said, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." That means it's the ones that chose now, not after all of this. Just give you an idea just in our nation, the tailspin that this is going to cause in the world when the rapture of the church happens. If stats are true, 1 in 3 Americans are Christians. So there's 330 million, I think, in our nation. That means over 100 million is going to be out of here. Do you know what kind of chaos that's going to create in the world? Just in our nation. And you think about all the nations of the world. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. You don't want your family to be here. You want everybody to be raptured out of here with the Lord. That's why I believe in the rapture. God doesn't pour his wrath out on his children. There's all kinds of typology of that. That's why Noah was saved in the ark. When judgment fell, Noah raised up in the ark. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to make sure that you're like the angel said, you're blessed because you have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're a part of the bride of Christ, that you made yourself ready before. You chose Jesus before all of this because you had the faith and the foresight to see that the Bible is real. I don't have to wait for the Antichrist to show up and all this other stuff that's supposed to be coming in the tribulation to know that Jesus is real. I'm choosing that Jesus is real now. And there's going to be a day that our faith is going to be made sight. And that day is very soon with the rapture when Jesus comes and catches us up. But I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want everybody to stand up. Did that help connect some dots for everybody this morning? Amen. Okay. And Jada, I want you to come up here with me. We're going to speak a blessing over you guys. I want you all to have a blessed week. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May be blessed in your health. May be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, Jesus is coming soon. Amen.